Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Email us with any basketball questions or if you want to advertise with us, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you got questions for us, send them to us on Twitter, @LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook, @LockedOnBulls. Message us on there with questions or any other kind of inquiries. And make sure you check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. The NFL season is in full swing, and there's Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football. Any NFL team you want, we have a podcast for you. Check out Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush. I'm Sean Hyken. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, we made it. This is our last podcast with no hard Bulls news.
Well, I'd stop short of saying that. It appears Dwayne Wade, new Bull Dwayne Wade, is on his way back toward Chicago of some sort on an airplane after spending at least the past week and maybe some more time in Miami.
Right.
It looked like.
Well, you would hope so, because media day's in 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. And D-Wade had what I thought was a great Snapchat. I think it was earlier today. And it just felt like a metaphor for the entire Bulls season.
Right.
Because if nothing else, Dwayne Wade gives us content. We love the aura of everything that surrounds Dwayne Wade already, and he hasn't even played a basketball game.
We love the Union Wade family. They've been great to us so far this summer when we've been struggling for content.
For podcast content. And he was explaining to his young son, Zion, that he'd made a mistake of some sort around his friends, adults. I don't know. I doubt they're in school. Well, they might be in school now. Maybe he's at school. But D-Wade's like, mistakes are okay. And then he goes, what can we not do? And he said, can't make the same mistake twice. He's like, correct. And then his son says, you got to learn from your mistakes. And then Dwayne Wade goes something like, that's right. You learn from your mistakes or you're in big, big trouble.
It's good life advice.
It's terrific life advice.
Dwayne Wade seems like he's an excellent father.
I know. And I feel like this is what the whole bowl season is going to be like. It's going to be fits and starts. It's going to be chaotic at times. And our point here in this podcast was some sort of training camp preview. We've already gone through the whole roster there the past few days, point guard, wings, and big men previews. And now we just want to kind of preview it in general. But I think that mindset and ability to get through the season that's going to be choppy at times, if they can come together, might be one of the broader storylines. Because we've talked so much about the shooting part. Can Nico step up? How do these guys fit on the basketball floor? But mentally, and just as a unit, I think that's going to be a big thing.
Right, and then also just kind of some of the chemistry stuff. Like, I mean, we saw last year, obviously in December, the biggest piece of drama was when Jimmy Butler told reporters in New York after a loss that Fred Hoiberg needs to coach the team harder. And then afterwards, he said, like, I shouldn't have said that in public. I shouldn't have said that to the media. And to his credit, it seems like after that, he, like, genuinely made an effort to change his approach and not, throw people under the bus publicly.
Yeah, and you bring up Fred Hoiberg here, and that's a good point. I've written this once or twice before, just kind of when we deconstructed how it went wrong last season and just took a look back in the offseason. But I thought one of the missteps by the Bulls last year was after Jimmy did that on a Saturday night in New York, so not a huge media contingent. They had that Sunday off, and on Monday they trotted him out to a large gathering of media in Chicago after practice, and Jimmy spoke and he kind of clarified and explained, and he said it was taken out of context, which was a bunch of BS. That was not out of context. It was straight out of his mouth. That's a huge criticism of your coach in this day and age. And Fred Hoiberg did not admonish him. No one in the front office spoke.
Powell didn't say that he would like, he would prefer in the future if people would keep that stuff out of the media.
The most passive aggressive, like, Powell tweet of all time.
Powell is like the nicest man in the entire NBA, but he's like low key sort of passive aggressive.
He throws shade at people in a very articulated, veteran way, I think is fair to say.
I hadn't really thought about how much I'm going to miss Powell, but I'm going to miss Powell.
You can formulate any story you want if you go to Powell for quotes, because he'll give you a little barb in the edge and then just
But then also be super nice and positive. I have a Powell story. I know I've told this in public other places. I don't know if I've told it on here, but last season in November, when the Bulls were on their circus trip, which is what they do every year in November, like last 2 weeks of November when the
circus road trip
books up the United Center, I usually use that 2 weeks to go home to Portland to visit my family, because that's where I grew up, and the Bulls were in Portland during that trip, and so while I was in Portland, like the day before the Bulls game, I went to the Nike employee store with a buddy of mine who was able to get me in, and while I was there, I saw Pau and Nico just there buying stuff. You know, I said hi to them, and like they know me, I know them. I didn't really bother them too much. We just kind of said hi, and then I kind of went and did my own stuff, because I figured they probably wanted to be left alone. And then about 20 minutes later, I bump into Pau, and he looks down at me, and he goes, "Are you finding everything okay?" like he was like an employee. Like, I'm sure, like, if I had been trying to reach something on the top shelf, he would have been more than happy to reach it for me.
That's who
Pau Gasol is. He's just like the night, like, even outside of NBA players, he's just one of the nicest humans that I have ever met. But he has a little bit of a passive aggressive streak when it comes to talking about things with the team. Like, every time they had one of those losses in February or March when they were kind of seeming like they were out of the playoffs, he would say something like, "We have to decide if we want it."
Yeah, and this year's Bulls team is going to have some of those, again, struggles at times. We don't know how fast this grand experiment's going to come together exactly.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it will be interesting. I think it'll be a little bit more direct criticism this year between Rondo, Dwayne Wade being on the team, and just being veterans and having gone through that before. But I did want to get back to Fred Hoiberg real quick. I mean, I think how he responds this year, I think he needs to be... I'm not saying he wasn't tough last year at times. I think later in the season, he probably directly talked to him a little more. But by then, like, the ship was already kind of sinking and there's nothing you could do. So I think this is a fresh chance, a new start, to kind of set the tone a little bit more. Just with a tougher training camp, maybe, and just what the expectations are. Because I just thought that whole episode of Jimmy Butler commenting last year was kind of indicative of the season at whole. Just not a lot of leadership from any regard anywhere in the organization. And to tie it into Dwayne Wade, I think we'll have leadership more this season because of him. We'll see a lot more of that from the Bulls. And I don't know how that translates to wins, but it's a better starting point to have, like, a true leader.
Right, and I think that's just going to be huge for their chemistry. Because, I mean, the Bulls have guys... They had guys last year who were leaders, or at least theoretically were, but, like, or in terms of what they had accomplished. But, like, because, like, Derrick Rose is a former MVP, but Derrick is, you know, very laid-back, not a real vocal leader type of guy. Joakim Noah was kind of the emotional, you know, centerpiece of the team, and he's obviously a former All-Star defensive player of the year, but he was hurt, and he was away from the team a lot. After he had his surgery in January, he spent a lot of time in New York rehabbing. Dwayne Wade is a Hall of Famer, a three-time champion, won a Finals MVP. He's as accomplished as pretty much anybody in the NBA, short of, like, you know, LeBron James or... you know, whoever, but he's
now
like in the
Kobe
top.
And Tim Duncan, now that Kevin Garnett as well are out of the game.
That's interesting. I was surprised that, I mean, I don't know if he's retiring or, I was surprised by the way that, you know, considering the relationship that he has with Tom Thibodeau from their days together in Boston, I was surprised that, you know, they weren't able to convince him to come back. We don't know for sure whether Garnett is going to be retiring or if he's going to go play somewhere else or he wants to go play for a contender.
Or into an organizational.
Right, I've heard it thrown around that maybe he wants to go to the Clippers and reunite with Doc and Paul Pierce, which would be such a Clippers thing to do.
Yeah, of course, for the Bulls leadership questions, we'll get our first glimpse at
having
at
a guy like Dwayne Wade. And the other thing is, I think this is, you talked about having a clean slate for Hoiberg. It's not the ideal roster for what he wants to do, but it's a different roster from last year. There's only five, I believe it's only five guys on this roster who ever played for Tom Thibodeau, and that's Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, Tony Snell, Nico Mirotic, and Doug McDermott. Everybody else, either the two rookies, Portis and Felicio, were new last year, and everybody else is new to the team this year. So Fred is going to have, it's not going to be the situation where they have so many guys who are so used to playing with each other for so many years under one coach, and then another coach has to come in and try to make the same group play a completely different style. And the other thing is, as of right now, and I'm knocking on wood as I say this, as of right now, there are no injury setbacks. You have to remember that last year, literally 30 minutes into the first practice of training camp, Derrick Rose takes that inadvertent elbow to the face from Taj Gibson. He breaks a bone in his face. He can't see out of both eyes for a couple of months. He misses the first 3 weeks of training camp, and then he gets off to kind of a rough start because, again, he can't see out of both eyes. So, like, you know, as of right now, like, if the Bulls can get through training camp without there being an injury setback like that to one of their key players, and it's going to be a lot easier for everybody to gel and everybody to kind of get used to playing with one another.
Yeah, and certainly media days Monday, training camp for the Bulls starts Tuesday with the first practice. I believe it's a double session. First preseason game, of course, is October 3rd.
Bulls, that's the week from Monday.
Bucks. And I know many of you will be interested at some point, maybe not the preseason opener, but at some point you got to get to the United Center and see Dwayne Wade play basketball, of course.
That's right, and I have a solution for any of you who are looking for the best way to buy or sell tickets.
What's that, Sean?
It's called SeatGeek. It's the smartest, easiest way to find tickets to the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being there in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get tickets that you want for great value. They have the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because they price compare for you by searching multiple ticket sites. And it'll vary depending on where you shop, but they will always find the lowest available price. And they want to help you get the best bang for your buck. Every ticket on SeatGeek is given a deal score, with 1 being the worst, 100 being the best, relative to the value of other seats available in that section, so you know when you're getting a good deal, when you're getting a bad deal. And best of all, for Locked On Bulls listeners, if you download the free SeatGeek app for your phone, go to settings, click enter promo code, and put in LO Bulls, LOBULLS. You will get a $20 rebate back after you make your first purchase. SeatGeek, you're going to want to get some tickets this season to go see the Bulls. SeatGeek is the way to do it.
You know, Sean, I did like how we made coaching sound like really easy. Step one for Fred Hoiberg, don't have your star point guard like get his face broken
right.
The first practice.
Right.
Like, we say no injury issues, we're making it sound really easy. I got a grand strategy.
Right.
Don't get hurt right away.
Right, like that was Fred's fault or something. But no, I was just saying, like Fred, you know, that his first season as Bulls head coach,
it couldn't have started worse.
Was hit or miss, but there were some things, like, you can't, my point was that you can't put that all on him because there were some things that happened, like the Derrick Rose injury, that were just kind of out of his control.
Yeah, and that was important because, I mean, it was a completely new system, and the man who starts the system, makes it go for the Bulls, literally couldn't do anything for a month, and then was tentative when he came back, didn't get to go 100% in practice all the time.
Right.
And we know through the years that's been an issue with Derek in practice and such, and a few others on the Bulls just when they're healthy enough to play and everything. And the Bulls need that this training camp.
Right, and with Derrick Rose was the worst guy that could have happened to. It's not like, you know, Taj Gibson or something. And as good of a player as Taj is, he's a guy who you're not going to, like, call plays for. He's not going to be the one initiating the offense. Derrick Rose is a guy who was going to have the ball in his hands a lot. And so for him to get injured the first day of training camp and then have to basically, because of the stuff with the blurred vision, he couldn't even come to practice and watch the team. He had to stay at home and have to be in a dark room all day. Yeah,
basically.
And have the coaching staff come over to his house to watch film with him. So it was just not ideal. So any kind of thing like that, like, you don't want Rondo or Wade or Butler to get injured during training camp, because those are the three guys that, you know, you really need to have on the same page in terms of running the system.
Yeah, and along that lines, I did think, of course, to get back to our umbrella theme of Dwayne Wade at all times, he did tweet the other day, someone was asking him about his games and skills, kind of how it was aging, you know, this year when he's 34, what's expected. And D-Wade said on Twitter, it's all about learning how to adjust to your age and body now. The skills don't fade, just the bounce has. So, of course, that means Dwayne Wade's not going to go in and being dunking over people like he used to. But how do you think in a new location, a new franchise, new teammates, and on the backside of his career, does Dwayne Wade go like the Kobe route and start posting up a little more, shooting more fadeaways at this age? Does he make a point to get the draw the old man foul by just having more wisdom than the defender and all that stuff? Do you think we see a change at all in Dwayne Wade's game? I mean, I know you watch a lot of NBA basketball, Sean, across not just the Bulls. So you saw him play a lot last year, too, when he kind of had a rejuvenated year for the Heat. But what do you expect in that regard?
Well, I think we're going to see him. And just from that comment, I mean, he's one of the smartest guys in the league. He knows his body. He knows his game. He knows kind of where he's at this point in his career. I think we're going to get to see him be a little bit more conservative, especially having a guy like Jimmy Butler who he can say, okay, Jimmy Butler can be the leading scorer. He can be the number one option on offense. I can just do whatever they need me to do. That's how Tim Duncan, who just recently retired over the summer, was able to stay so effective so late into his career, even after maybe his physical skills had declined a little bit, because he kind of learned how to pick his spots a little bit more and you know, dial back some aspects of his game and then figure out when he had to flip the switch and turn it on, and that was usually in the playoffs, and that's why he was able to be so successful. I kind of see Dwayne Wade doing that, because at this point, he's got three rings. He doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He just kind of wants to still play at a high level. And if that means sitting out a few more games or playing 27 minutes a game instead of 30, I think he's okay with that, especially being on a team with other ball-dominant guards like this. As opposed to kind of the Kobe Bryant route, like you mentioned, where, you know, until he had the Achilles injury, and then even this year, when he first, you know, before he announced his retirement, he kind of was pressing a lot, trying to prove that he could still do the things that Kobe Bryant of old was able to do, and it was a little bit...
That's missing the point, kind of.
Hard for him to, you know, dial back, because that's just not how he's wired. Dwayne Wade is obviously still incredibly competitive, but I think he's a cerebral enough player that he's able to recognize what he can't do anymore and not try to force things.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, I'll tell you what I'm most looking forward to in training camp, I guess, would be in the preseason games. I believe the Bulls play 8 of them off the top of my head.
8 or 7.
And Denzel Valentine, that's a guy you want to get his feet really wet in the preseason, give him responsibility, play him a lot of minutes, see how he fits in with these pieces, because obviously he played summer league for the Bulls, but not with the guys he's going to be on the court with most of the time this season. I think that's a storyline to watch in training camp. There's some of these things, I don't know how much we'll be able to take away from Jimmy, Rondo, and D-Wade playing well together until the regular season starts a little bit more. When the defenses are really locked in, it matters more. The game's on the line, who gets the ball at the end, how they go about that. But I think Denzel Valentine's skills playing against NBA players, how those translate and fit in against more top-tier talent, even in the preseason, will be fascinating to watch. How they use him is what I'm interested in, because the Bulls, they love his passing, we said this before, but they want the ball to be in his hands, and maybe that's the second unit role where he'd obviously get the ball in his hands more. But as we've said before, too, I think 44% on three-pointers senior year at Michigan State. So that's a guy, training camp-wise, I think I'd keep an eye on. Anything else you would keep an eye on in training camp? Any storyline that sticks out to you?
The other guy, and just kind of on the same token, is Bobby Portis, just okay. In terms of how many minutes he gets, what his role looks like. And, you know, to your point about getting Denzel Valentine's feet wet in the preseason, that's kind of the ideal use of the preseason. And what that does is that's going to give us some stuff to actually look for, because these preseason games, like, there's too many of them.
Yeah.
Everybody in the league, except for maybe Tom Thibodeau, just doesn't really take them seriously because they just are exhibition games. They don't really count. I remember there was a game against the Pelicans here last year in the preseason, and Alvin Gentry would even say that, like, he likes to use the preseason game for, like, if one of his players is playing a game in their hometown, he likes to just, like, give them a lot of minutes because they have friends at the game. Like, that's kind of how seriously a lot of these people take these preseason games. But for
Jason Kidd literally did that in the regular season, though, last year, didn't he, or something? Like, or, no, maybe it was someone visiting the Bucks. My bad, not Jason Kidd.
No, you know what it was?
Who was it?
You know what it was?
It's someone whose hometown was between Milwaukee and Chicago.
No, this was George Karl and the Kings were here, and And Caron Butler got a bunch of minutes in Chicago, and he said that it was because he's from Wisconsin. And we went back and looked, and he got a DNP
in Milwaukee.
The Bucks. But my point was that ideally we'd like to see Fred Hoiberg use the preseason to just try out different lineups, and it doesn't matter because these are preseason games.
Stagger those minutes.
Right, because these are preseason games and they don't count. If they throw Denzel Valentine and Bobby Portis out there in a certain lineup and that lineup gets lit up, it's okay because now you know that, and it happened in a game that doesn't count. So you just have that information that you can use once the games actually start to count.
You brought up a Tibbs reference, and I'd be remiss if I didn't pass along a story I heard on the ESPN True Hoop podcast that Doc Rivers, one time when he was head coach of the Celtics, got kicked out of a game in like middle to early third quarters. There's like 9 minutes, I don't know, 8 minutes left in the third quarter, and appointed Tibbs to coach the rest of the game, obviously. He was the defensive coordinator, assistant coach.
I think I know this story,
too. Celtics at that point. And Tibbs didn't make a substitution, they said. And
yeah,
it's like,
I remember
it's
this,
one of the most famous Tibbs stories. He just, the group that was out there, he played like the last 20, 21 minutes of the game, and I think they won it or something. But just another classic Tibbs story that we're always here to pass along to you.
And one more thing, you know, you just mentioned Milwaukee real quick. We don't have hard Bulls news.
True.
We have hard Central Division news.
No, we have hard Bulls news. They went up one power ranking.
This is
true. In the NBA pecking
order. This is true because we, you know, in terms of like the teams that were in that cluster of teams that were fighting for maybe the 6, 7, 8 seeds in the East playoff picture, the Bulls and the Bucks were kind of both in that group. I think we can pretty safely take the Bucks out of it with the news that broke yesterday that Chris Middleton is going to have surgery on a torn hamstring, which
6 months.
They didn't say an exact timeline, but 6 months, I wouldn't be surprised if he misses the whole year because 6 months is just the recovery timeline, and a hamstring is the kind of thing that tends to
lingers.
Nag. Yeah.
Yep, those injuries linger. And then, of course, they went and traded for Michael Beasley, one of your favorite players to watch in the NBA.
There were not a lot of highlights last year covering the Bulls. It was a pretty miserable season to cover because everybody was really checked out and there wasn't a lot to get excited about. There are two things that just stood out. One of them was obviously opening night with President Obama in the building against the Cavaliers. J.R. Smith goes over to him during a fourth quarter timeout and just daps him up. Not even a presidential handshake, like a dap.
That's just classic.
It was amazing.
Smith.
That was the single greatest thing I've ever seen in person covering basketball. But the other one, in early March of this past season, the Rockets signed Michael Beasley to either a 10-day contract or just like a non-guaranteed contract for the rest of the season because they needed some wing help because they had a bunch of injuries. And his first game was their game here at the United Center on March 5th. He checks in during the first half, plays 4 minutes, shoots 1 for 5 from the field.
He got his shots up.
He got
Shooter's
his shots up.
Gonna shoot.
He actually got one assist, which I feel like might be a career high for him. I haven't checked that, but it's got to be among his most assisted games. But that was just like the quintessential Michael Beasley experience. He just comes in and just attempts to get buckets. He didn't actually get buckets, but he attempted to get buckets.
That's what happens when the Bulls disappoint late in the season, is we get a kick out of those sort of things.
You just kind of look for things like that and just get to say, oh, I get to watch the Thunder are in town. I get to watch Russell Westbrook just destroy everybody.
Yeah. On a brighter note, Pat via email had a good question, and you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries. But Pat asks, you guys have talked a lot about the Bulls' floor, it seems like. What's their ceiling? I think if Doug McDermott and Nico Mirotic take reasonable leaps in their third year,
this is his question,
Bulls
still
can blow past the 38.5 over-under for wins that Vegas set. So Pat via email saying that there's progress from Nico and Doug. He sees a pretty bright year for the Bulls. So, Sean, ceiling, what say you?
Yeah, I think that's about reasonable. I don't think they're going to sniff, you know, 50 wins, but I think if everything breaks right for them, they don't have any serious injuries, everybody gels, and like Pat pointed out, if Doug McDermott and Nico Mirotic take some steps forward, I think like somewhere 43, 44, 45 wins and the 7 or 8 seed, I think is reasonable for them.
Here's my ceiling.
What's your ceiling?
49-33.
Wow, that's...
That's
optimistic.
Best case,
that is optimistic.
This is not 50-win team anywhere. But if they stay healthy all year, the Eastern Conference is bad because the Eastern Conference always has the ability to be bad. If the Dwayne Wade, Rondo, Jimmy Butler thing works out and Robin Lopez anchors that defense, the Bulls still have more talent than most of the teams in the Eastern Conference if they can find a way to make it mesh. 49-33. There you go, Pat. Ceiling for the Bulls. 49 wins in the regular season. Hot take there, Sean?
That's, I mean, I wouldn't call it a full-on hot take. I think it's warm. It's warm.
Okay, I'm not saying they're residing in the upstairs bedroom.
Right.
Or
no.
Anything,
a hot take would be like if you said, "Oh, I think their ceiling is, you know, 54 wins and making the conference finals." I would say, "Yeah, I don't know if I can agree with you." I mean, I wouldn't ever predict 49 wins, but like.
No. I think there's too many holes defensively, certainly, for them to get to 49 wins. I think there's a better chance of the offense gelling in time and being able to be good because just adding Dwayne Wade's a good basketball player, and then if Doug and Nico make their three-pointers. But I think the defense is still too leaky to get there. But, I mean, hey, in an ideal world, maybe it's not. Like, maybe that defense can be slightly better than league average, and they can be good offensively and beat teams they should beat. Because the Bulls should still beat a lot of teams.
You would
think
so.
The Eastern Conference has still got some bad teams in it.
And they still have a lot of talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
How well it fits together is one thing. But in terms of the talent that they have guys who are proven commodities and are talented players, even if a lot of them aren't as good as they once were. And obviously that's Rondo and Wade. But they're still, you know, Dwayne Wade is still Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. So biggest key, no doubt, is making all the pieces fit together for the Bulls. We get our first peek. We get to listen to them talk about it Monday. They'll start trying to do that in earnest on Tuesday with their first practice of the season. We will have a loaded podcast Monday after Media Day. I'm sure there'll be a lot to say. Gar Foreman, Fred Hoiberg, and all the players are expected to be available to the media. I know we do have a question we got to get in. Where is Jimmy Butler keeping that gold medal? I think that's still one of America's great mysteries right now. I think we cast our vote previously for the Boombox Aquarium, but we'll see where he actually is storing that.
We will see. And I mean, because it's going to be the kind of thing, especially since he now has a teammate who also has a medal. Nico Mirotic played for Spain. He won a bronze medal. It's going to be like, we've told this story before, but Kobe and Powell in 2008 training camp when Kobe put his silver medal, or his gold medal in Powell's locker after the U.S. beat Spain in the gold medal game in 08 in Beijing. I've got another thing to tease, too. You will notice, if you've been listening the last couple weeks or so, I have stopped saying our affiliations in terms of our media outlets when I'm introducing us. Cody is still with 670 The Score.
Still gainfully, happily employed.
Absolutely. I am no longer with Bleacher Report or NBC Sports. I have a new gig covering the Bulls that's very exciting. I am not going to announce it until Monday, but I'm just letting you guys know that that's coming.
The suspense, Sean. They're not going to be able to sleep all weekend now.
I know. We gotta keep them coming back. Gotta give them a reason to listen, besides all the other reasons to listen.
That's very true. So please do tune in early next week to hear Sean's big news and also all the recap from Bulls Media Day. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Find us on Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play. Tune in wherever podcasts are found. Email us at Locked On Bulls. Follow us at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, at Hikin on Twitter, and at Cody Westerlin. And as always,
like us on Facebook too.
Thanks for listening.